its current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. On this day, 183 years ago, thousands of people gathered to watch the second and last execution in Michigan under state law. Stephen Simmons was sentenced to death for the murder of his wife. From this case eventually came the end of capital punishment in the state. Michigan was the first English-speaking jurisdiction in the world to do away with capital punishment. David G. Chardevoine is a law professor and the author of the book A Hanging in Detroit, Stephen Gifford Simmons and the Last Execution Under Michigan Law. He explained that Simmons was not a well-liked man.
Well, he was not a very nice man. He had been a soldier for a while, but he was kicked out of the army. He had tried farming very unsuccessfully, and he came to Michigan about 1825, bought a tavern, which according to all reports was a very horrible tavern, and pretty much drank most of the time.
And he ended up killing his wife in a drunken rage, ended up being tried for murder. What was the court system like in Michigan when Simmons was tried?
Well, we're during the territorial period here, and there was a territorial Supreme Court of three judges who also served as Wayne County Circuit Court. So they tried the case, the three of them, as the circuit court. Any appeal would have gone to them as the Supreme Court.
At the time, others committed murder, yet Simmons was only the second person under law in Michigan to receive the death sentence. Why was Simmons sentenced to hang?
I believe because he killed his wife, rather than a friend or a brother. Two other men were in jail at the same time he was. One had killed his friend, one had killed his brother in drunken rages. One got 1 year, one got 3 years. They were found guilty of manslaughter rather than murder.
What was the more typical punishment doled out for crimes similar to Simmons at the time then?
Well, if it was murder, it was always going to be death, but juries were very reluctant to return murder verdicts. They preferred to find them guilty of manslaughter, which would be a relatively short period. Michigan did not have a jail that would where someone could live for years and years, and so the penalties tended to be rather short.
What was Michigan, particularly Detroit, like when Simmons was sentenced? Was it still a backwoods frontier, or was it becoming more established?
It was becoming more established. The opening of the Erie Canal in 1825 changed the state tremendously. Thousands and thousands of people came from, mostly from western New York, to Michigan on the Erie Canal, took steamboats from Buffalo to Detroit, and the state was growing. Detroit at that time had only just over 2,000 residents, and the three-county area, Wayne, Macomb, and Oakland, only had about 18,000. But people were settling out towards Lansing, across the southern part of the Lower Peninsula, so it was becoming more of a mercantile state, whereas before it had mostly been a place where Native Americans traded their furs.
There are a lot of stories and myths floating around about the day Stephen Simmons was executed, giant crowds gathering, Simmons apparently singing hymns before he hanged. What really happened that day?
Well, there was a large crowd for that time. It was about 2,000 people. People came in from around the surrounding area, slept overnight out by the where the scaffold had been set up. But the stories that he sang seem rather dubious to me because nothing that was contemporary ever spoke about that. In fact, the two or three accounts that we have don't mention him singing at all. So I think that this is something that was sort of invented in the 1870s or 1880s by a gentleman who was giving a speech to the Historical Society on a totally unrelated subject, and all of a sudden veered into this story about Stephen Simmons and the singing the hymn. And I think that's where it came from, and that's where it sort of stayed as a myth. But the people who were there really never talked about it.
In many accounts of the hanging, it said that there was a great sense of regret or remorse. Was that remorse for Simmons, or was it for what he did?
I think there was remorse that what they had come to see was entertainment that they didn't get. Yes, there was a band there. Yes, there were grandstands set up to watch it. The people didn't get the thrill that they wanted. Instead, they walked away feeling kind of hollow.
And did this event end up spurring an aversion to the death penalty in Michigan, in your view?
Well, in my view, there's already been an aversion, just by the fact that there had not been one since 1821, and there was never another, even though the death penalty theoretically was on the books until 1847, another 17 years. But I think, yes, it started it, although certainly nobody at the time spoke out against capital punishment before his execution. The next January, Governor Cass remarked that he would have preferred to have had the power to commute his sentence to life imprisonment, but in fact the law did not allow him to do that.
Simmons' hanging was the last legal death sentence in Michigan. For almost two centuries since that, Michigan has kept the death penalty out of law. Now, it may not be because of Simmons, but what about the politics or culture in Michigan that has kept the death penalty out of the books?
Well, what kept it out, I'm not really sure. I think what started it in the first place was it's the nature of the people who came to Michigan. They were mostly came from Western New York, but they were mostly of New England stock. They were tended to be people who were a little more adventurous, and psychologists tell me that those people tend to be more against the death penalty, marginally. It was not an overwhelming feeling. It took quite a few years to get the death penalty set aside in the legislature. Since then, though, it seems to have agreed with a majority of people. Every once in a while, there's an effort to change it back to the death penalty, but it usually fails. I mean, it has always failed up till now.
What do you make of those? I mean, whenever there is a murder that people can't make sense of or is particularly heinous, we often hear cries for the reinstatement. What do you make of those?
Well, I think people have a feeling of a need for something when a very bad murder takes place. They may feel that somehow they didn't stop it, that they should have done something, even though it would have been impossible for them to do something. So they think about getting revenge. Actually, these days, most people don't believe that executions deter crime. Most of them think of it more as revenge. Now that we have the prohibition on the death penalty in our Constitution since 1963, and this is 50 years later now, it's become very difficult to overturn the prohibition on executions. But I think overall, there simply has never been a truly popular movement to reinstate the death penalty. There have been people who have been in favor of it and against it, but overall, I think most of the people in the state have been more or less satisfied with the way things are.
But as recently as the 1930s, there was a federal execution that took place in the state of Michigan. How does that factor into this longer historical discussion?
Well, yes, Mr. Shebatoris was trying to rob a bank in Midland, and he shot a bystander who he thought erroneously was a policeman. He was tried under a federal statute for committing a murder during a bank robbery of a federal bank, and he was convicted in the Bay City Federal Court, and he was executed at Milan. The interesting thing is that Governor Frank Murphy, who was the governor of Michigan at that time, begged Franklin Roosevelt to please move the execution out of Michigan. And in fact, the president would have done so, but the judge, Tuttle, refused to do so. He said that it would be not a good thing to give this onerous duty to one of our neighbors. And so the execution did take place at Milan. There was a tremendous uproar against it. And I think that showed that even at that time, when crime was much greater than it is today, when bank robberies were going on, while a lot of other crime was going on, the people of Michigan were still strong against capital punishment.
A few years ago, a historical marker was placed where Stephen Simmons' tavern once stood. Why do you think it's important to remember this event?
Well, I think for the very reason that it was the last. It was a very, very bad case, in that he beat his much smaller wife to death while she was drunk, and from that, though, from that very, very bad case, eventually came the end of capital punishment. And I think that is one of the things that makes Michigan unique. We were the first English-speaking jurisdiction in the world to do away with capital punishment.
David G. Chardevoine is an attorney, author, and professor based in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Mr. Chardevoine, thank you.
You're very welcome.